Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Port O'Connor Way and check in with Captain Lynn Smith, see what he's up to. Good morning, Lynn. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing, Mick?
Oh, man, I can't complain. It's all good.
I hear you. I'm telling you, man. I'm down here in paradise, you know.
Yep.
Living in paradise. That's what some of my old buddies I worked with in engineering, they keep telling me I'm living the dream. You know, they said, man, you got out of engineering and got down here and started fishing for a living, and you're just living the dream. They said, you're living what we'd love to be doing. I said, well, yeah, all you got to do is step up, man, do it. Just do it. Yeah, I guarantee you. I finally got tired of engineering, and I just said, man, I'm going to move down to POC and get my captain's license, and I'm just going to start enjoying life for a change. And that was 31 years ago.
Well, might have added to a little longevity there.
Yeah.
Get the pressure off.
I guarantee you. Oh, I guarantee
you. Stress kills, man.
It does. It does. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the jobs, you are under a lot of stress. You really are. They put you under it.
Yeah, they do.
They do that. Some jobs are worse than others. Well, this week's been a tough week. I've had a couple of friends pass away.
Man. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, cousin, and I don't know if anybody mentioned Chris Summers. Did anybody mention him passing away?
No, I hadn't heard.
Did you know Chris? I think you did. No, Chris.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and Chris passed away here a while back, about a couple of months ago or whatever. His wife called me, and she said, you need to come see him. I went, uh-oh, this isn't good. And, when a friend's wife calls and tells you that, you just drop everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I hot-footed up to Houston and went to see him. And anyway, he had stage 4 bladder cancer. And he passed away. And he was my two-man team partner in skeet shooting. And we traveled all over the place, you know, all over the country. And shooting on a 5-man team. And he was from El Campo. And he's a great guy, good fisherman, excellent fisherman. And he used to come down here. In fact, Chris actually brought me to Port O'Connor for the first time, mm-hmm. way back when. But I got a text from his wife a couple of days ago that they're going to have his service in May 17th in El Campo. So anyway, if everybody should know that. But anyway, he was a great guy. Everybody ought to know that. Chris was a super guy. I'll never forget. And this is kind of hard to do. Chris was a right-handed shooter and skeet shooter, but his left eye was his master eye.
Huh.
And so, you know, a lot of people, what they did is they would put a piece of tape over their glasses, you know, over their master eye.
Right.
To keep them from really, you know, cross shooting. And that's a pain. You know, that's a pain. So anyway, to compensate for it. So he finally got tired of doing that. So what he did, he switched over to shooting left-handed. Now, you can't tell me that's not hard. Boy, that's tough to do, to switch to shoot left-handed. And 2 years later, we were shooting in the World Championships in Savannah, Georgia, and Chris won the World Championship with a 410. He broke 100 straight with a 410 and won the shoot-off and won the World Championship. Now, that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's unreal.
Yeah, just 2 years later. I mean, that's tough to do. Tough to do.
I'll guarantee you.
Yeah. Jeez. But anyway. But on the lighter side of things, the fishing is picking up. Looks like the fishing picking up a little bit. I went out checking out a few spots a couple of days ago, and went out looking at a few spots I hadn't looked at in a while. I went over at West Bay a little bit, went down to Greens, good old Greens, you know, mm-hmm. but the water temperature is a little chilly, and that water temp was 66 degrees.
It was that cool down there? I'll be darned.
Yeah, that was a little chilly. And I had slicks popping up, you know, around me, and but I couldn't get anything to eat. I just couldn't get them. And I turned around, came on back, and got back into areas where I knew I had some fish, and I was waiting a gut that, heck, I was over waist deep, and I was catching trout, and I looked over and I saw some bait flushing up toward the flat, and I said I was trying to work my way up to that flat because I was getting a little bit deep. I was afraid I was going to get over my waders. And I said, man, I cast, I saw this mullet kind of greyhound a little bit. And I went, oh, something's after him. And I cast over there. And you know how you're not concentrating too much. You're more worried about going over your waders than you are about that, uh-huh. about that mullet greyhound. And I was working toward that flat, and something hit my bait and almost jerked the rod out of my hand. I mean, good grief. I know it was a red. It had to be a red up on that flat. But he didn't take it. He just hit my lure, but he didn't take it. But I was more concentrating on trying to get up on that flat a little bit and get a little shallower.
Yeah, get out of that gut and don't be dipping them waders, man.
That's it. That water was a little bit nippy, yeah, a little bit chilly, but there was some decent trout in there, and caught some pretty good trout. But anyway, it was kind of a noon bite. Those fish weren't going to turn on until around 11 o'clock, and that's about what had happened. They turned on about 11. But anyway, once that sun got warming that water up in that mud, they started picking up, started warming up. But anyway, it's the water's in great shape, man. Shoot, it's looking good. And some old spots kind of turned on.
Yeah.
But this fellow that was with me, he'd been kind of working on them pretty good the last few days on corkies. That's what he'd been catching them on. Mm-hmm. But they kind of turned off on his corky that he'd been using. And I was throwing plastic. I was throwing knocking tails, you know. And I love that bait. I was throwing chicken on a chain. That's what I was catching them on. And on that knocking tail.
Right.
And I was smoking them with that paddle tail. They were jumping all over that. And anyway, that bait was working best than anything. But they were almost ever cast on that. But good old chicken on a chain, that works like a charm.
Yeah, that color's always been good, you know.
It has. But that's kind of a go-to bait. I like that. And, I had some guys working, we were working a shell reef over in along the ship channel one day, and I pulled some of those baits out of my bag of the knock and tail lures called a heavy metal, and it's kind of a gold metal flake and paddle tail, and I mean that's all they wanted. That was the only one they wanted, and man, it was almost every cast with that bait. And I hollered at these guys. I said, "Guys, come over here. I'm going to give you some of these." I said, they want this, man, because they were throwing everything. They were throwing plum and chartreuse and you name it. They were throwing it, and they weren't having anything at all. And I threw a couple of bags of those to them, and I mean, it was on, you know. But that heavy metal, that is one of my go-to baits now. I carry that in my bag. I don't leave the boat without it. I love that color.
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal thunder.
With that bright sunshine, that bait really shines, man. It's got a lot of metal flake in it, and that's a good color. And they work on it. Those trout jump all over that bait.
You know, I saw where Pam Martin Wells died. Remember her? She's the only woman to ever qualify for the Bassmaster Classic. She did that back in 2010. And, man, she had like, I don't know, 10 female angler of the years, and I don't know how many top 10, you know, finishes, and just she was pretty big icon in the lady bass anglers.
Oh, man.
You know, the women's Bassmaster. I hadn't read it yet, but you can go to Bassmaster.com and read the article they wrote on her.
Huh.
I saw that this morning.
Man,
I got here. She passed, so ovarian cancer got her.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Some old legends passing away, man.
I'm telling you, well, it's, you know, we're at that age. It comes.
Yeah.
Death,
that's
and taxes.
Right.
You always gotta pay.
Oh yeah,
they're gonna get you one way or the other, brother.
It happens, man. It happens. Yeah, we used to travel all over the country. My 5-man team did, and gosh, I mean, we'd fly up to Detroit and New York and California. We flew all over the place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we flew to Phoenix one time. This was funny, and. The gun club is on the west side of Phoenix, out in the desert, you know. And we were going out to a big shoot called the Early Times Open. And we're going out to that gun club. And there was a big billboard. And it said, buy your oceanfront property here now in Phoenix in case that California drops off into the ocean. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But...
We've all been waiting at our lifetime, the San Andreas Fault. They claim it's going to happen, but
That's hopefully not.
Let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on a second.
All right.
You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 517 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Lynn, we're back, my friend.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We were out there in Phoenix. We had a guy shooting on the squad with us, that big old tall rancher from out there in Phoenix. And, God, he had cowboy boots on, and they looked like they were right up to his knees. They were so tall. And he was about 6'6".
Right.
And I walked up to Station 7 on that field, and I jumped back, and there was one of those sidewinder rattlesnakes coiled up right by the station.
Mm.
And I reached in my pocket to grab a shell, and I was fixing to shoot him. And he said, "Oh, hold on, don't waste a shell on him." And he walked up with those big old cowboy boots and just stomped that rattlesnake. It was one of those sidewinder rattlesnakes, you know.
Right.
And he was just so used to killing those rattlesnakes on his ranch. They said he owned 100,000 acres out there in Arizona. 100,000 acres. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Unbelievable. But I was a little shook up at first. I said, let me calm down a minute, because I almost stepped on that rattlesnake. Oh, man. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, that'll ruin your whole day.
Yeah, that'll wake you up. I want Hammer killed, and he lives down there on the beach, you know, between the pass and Surfside, and he killed two this week there at his house.
Really?
They're out. You got to watch out.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I'm leery every day I walk downstairs in my house.
Yeah, you're in rattlesnake country down there in POC, man.
Oh, I'm telling you, they're here. And my house is at the end of a dead-end street, and, I got a field right behind my house here. Mm-hmm. And, I'm real leery that those rattlesnakes come in right behind my house. I killed a big copperhead right beside my house. I've got a drain coming off my ice machine, and it drains right down, and I've got some stones I've got laying there, some bricks, and I've got where my drains right on those bricks. And yeah. I walked downstairs one day, and there was a big copperhead drinking right there where my drain is, because it was real dry. And he was drinking. And I went,
they come to that water when it's dry, man. I had that happen to me one night in the dark. I left my sprinklers going. So I'm ready to go out there and turn them all off. And, you know, I was barefoot, and I said, well, you know what? I better put some shoes on.
Oh, man.
So I slid some shoes on and went out there, and I carried a flashlight with me. Thank God I had a flashlight with me, because right by this one sprinkler, when I was walking back to the house after I turned it off, there he was. He was laying under that sprinkler and that wetness, and I'd have stepped right. I mean, he was right in my path.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's, well, you got to watch it, man.
Yeah.
I worry about kids the most, you know, because they don't pay attention. They're playing and doing their thing. And
no.
I worry about my grandson all the time.
You know, I was in the Boy Scouts, and I went all through Boy Scouts and Explorer Scouts. And I never forget when we were in Explorer Scouts, we were at Boy Scout camp, and we had some younger scouts there with us. And we were supposed to kind of help them out, you know, and all these younger boys came running into camp all excited. And this one had a snake, and he was had this snake, and he was all excited. Well, it was a coral snake, and he was holding that snake.
He was holding a coral snake? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and red and yellow
and killer fella. And he had about 6 inches of it sticking out of his hand. It hadn't bit him or anything, but it was just head was just kind of swinging around, you know. And he was so excited because he had a pretty snake, you know. And, boy, I mean, my mouth felt wide open. I said, drop him. And boy, he said, what? I said, drop the snake, drop it. And he dropped it, you know. And I said, oh, my goodness. And it was a pretty good size one, too.
Boy,
but it had not bitten him, and that was amazing.
Lucky
that
kid.
That snake did not bite.
Yeah, if you're gonna pick up a snake, you get right behind his head where he can't turn his neck and come back pop you.
Absolutely.
Hey, I got a question from a listener for you. He said he had a friend in Phoenix that shot pigeons and skeet. His name was Mike Daly. Did you know him, Mike Daly?
No, I don't think so. That name doesn't ring a bell.
All
no.
Right.
No, I only went out to Phoenix one time. I shot in that one shoot called the Early Times Open. Yeah,
Early Times. They were a big sponsor of my Troutmaster tournament. Early Times Whiskey.
Yeah, that was a pretty good size shoot.
I ruined a lot of guys fishing with that stuff. But they were cussing me the next morning.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, there's been some good shoots. Good shoots sponsored, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've had a lot of fun.
Remember that life-size poster of, it was a portrait of Charlie, you know, standing there, you know, from the Troutmaster's Pro Angler of the Year, and he's holding the bottle
every
time. They had it in all the liquor stores. Oh, Charlie.
Oh,
you gotta love it.
Oh, yeah. He's great. I like him. I like him, boy. Yeah, old Charlie, I went, I'll never forget, I went to Paul Brown's house one day, and every time I go to Paul's house, we'd always sit and talk for about 2 hours, you know.
That was normal protocol Paul Brown's.
I know. I'd sit down with Paul and we'd shoot the bull. And so anyway, I told Paul, I said, I'm going over to Matagorda and I'm a fish for Charlie. I said, I've never fished with him. I said, a friend of mine has him booked and one of his customers backed out. So I said, I'm going to take this customer's place. And he said, well, here's a new carkey I made. And he showed me it was a fat boy. Right. I said, what do you call this? He said, I call it a fat boy. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, here, take a couple of these. Try them. See what you think. I said, okay. So I get over there, and I said, hey, Charlie, I said, look at this new carkey that Paul made. He said, huh. He said, what does he call it? I said, he calls it a fat boy. I said, you want to try one of them? He gave me a couple of them. He said, no, I'll just throw a regular one. I said, okay. So we went out. He dropped me off in one spot, and he went down the line dropping people off. Well, when he came back, I had about a 5 or 6 pound trout. And he said, what'd you catch that fish on? I said, I caught it on that fat boy. Yeah. He said, you caught that fish on that bait? I said, yeah. That's what I caught it on. Well, all day long, I bet he asked me 5 or 6 times what I caught that trout on. He wanted to make sure. Yeah, because they were going to fish a little tournament. I think maybe Trout Masters, I don't know, back then.
Yeah.
But anyway, he wanted to make sure. But that was the first time I had fished a fat boy. He had just come out with that bait. And that was a good one. I still prefer the regular one over the fat boy, personally.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that original, man. Some of the fish I caught on that bait back in the day, my gosh.
Oh, Lord. God, yeah. Oh, man.
Clear glitter with a chartreuse tail. That was just,
That's my favorite. That's my favorite one. And it sometimes reel it back in, it'd be bent double.
Yep.
Folded up. And, oh, God, you know what happened. I mean, you know.
That's something how they could suck. Those big trout would suck that bait in and crush it and turn it into a donut, a perfect circle, and spit it out. And you'd lose them. You're going, how did I not get a hook in that fish?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. But they do it. They can do it.
You can't take them out of packages without getting hooked.
I know it.
How did that fish suck that bait all the way in like that, close his mouth and spit it out, turn it into a donut, and you didn't get a hook in that fish?
Yeah. You got two treble hooks on it.
You know, I caught a big old trout one time. He had sucked that corky in so hard, you know how they flare their gills. That corky went through his gills and into the outside, and I hooked him right by his little pectoral fin right there on the side.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, no wonder I couldn't hardly get this fish in. Man, he's foul hooked. Well, he wasn't. I took it off, and I went to throw the corky in the water while I'm holding the fish, and I'm going, hey, man, And I got to looking. I said, that's the only way he could have done it. Sucked it all the way through, out the gills, and then hooked him in the side. That is
Oh,
nuts.
Absolutely. That's
so
crazy.
So I cut the line and retie it, and I did put that one on the stringer. It was a good one. Couldn't
happen. Oh, man.
Back in the day. Yeah. Hey, man. We strung.
Oh, I know.
Nowadays, they want to throw you in jail for stringing a big trout.
I know. Well, I don't mind stringing them if they suck it way down and they're bleeding. Yeah. You know he's going to die. He's not going to make it. But I'm like you. I turn them loose normally. If they're if they're lip hooked, I'll release them.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Well, just, now you just, don't have just, any choice with a 5-inch slot, 15 to 20.
I know.
Blaine had a guy the other day catch one a little over 6 pounds with him. It was his personal best. He'd never caught a trout that big. And he said you should have seen the expression on that guy's face when I told him he had to throw that fish back. So they took a bunch of pictures of it and threw it back. So.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some guys like that. I think I told this on air. But we were down at Greens, actually. And I waded back the boat, and I had a donut, and I pull this trout out of the donut. I'd caught it on a corky. And I pulled it out to show the guys. I said, I'm going to show you this trout before I release it. But it was 29. And I said, isn't that pretty? And I held her out there. Boy, later on the deal to measure, she was 29 inches. And I said, isn't that pretty? Boy, and everybody was oohing and aahing. And I just eased her off in the water and let her go. And everybody just said, man, you let her go. And I said, we don't keep them that big, man.
Right.
We don't keep fish that big. I said, I just wanted y'all to see her before I let her go. I said, man, let somebody else catch her that never caught one that big before.
Right.
I said, that's a trophy of a lifetime for a lot of people, you know.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I guarantee you. I've caught 30-inch trout here in Port O'Connor, but they just don't have the weight on them that they have in Baffin, you know. They just don't have the shoulders on them.
Yeah, like those Baffin fish are strange. You know, you catch the ones way down there, you know, in Baffin or Alazan and around a land cut, and they're just super fat. Mm-hmm. You catch them up more towards Corpus, and they're long and skinny.
Yeah, that's the way they are here. You know, I was down there in Baffin with some friends one day, and we were wading, and I hollered this one buddy of mine. I said, you got your scale there, don't you? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I want you to weigh this fish. He said, is it a big one? I said, no. I said, but I just can't even get my hands around this fish. And I said, he's got shoulders on him. He's only about 26, maybe 27 at the most. But I said, you know, I want to weigh him. I want to weigh him. I said, okay. So I weighed over to him, and he put him on his boga. And that fish weighed almost 8 pounds.
I believe it.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, they just got shoulders on them.
Biggest 26-incher I ever saw, Gary Wheeler weighed one in Galveston in the Trout Masters tournament, and it weighed 9.00 exactly, 26
oh,
inches.
Oh, man.
What a yeah. toad.
Yeah, that's a pig. It really
that
is.
It is a pig, buddy. Old Galveston Bay pig. You know, Baffin, Galveston, and Sabine, some of the fattest trout I've ever seen, you know, length and girth.
Man.
You know, just pretty crazy. Well, Lynn, I got to run because I'm going to talk. Last segment, I'm going to try to talk to Cameron Plogg, you know, about this big tuna that was caught. You heard about that, didn't you? That 884?
No.
It's a pending state record. They hadn't certified it yet.
Oh, my goodness.
That was weighed in at Pelican Rest on the 10th.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's.
Well, good.
That's a giant bluefin there, buddy.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Where'd they catch it out of?
Out of Galveston, somewhere offshore. Oh, you know, I'm sure they were bill fishing and popped it big time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Giant.
All right,
what
man.
A giant. Well, look, somebody wants to call you about coming down and hooking up with you. How do they get a hold of you?
Yes, sir. They can get me at 361-935-6833.
All right, bud. Well, you know, watch them snakes. They're coming out.
They're out, buddy. They're out.
All right. Hey, thanks, Lynn. We'll see you, man.
Hey, have a good one, Mick.
Later, bye, buddy. All right. All right, that's Captain Lynn Smith. Well, hey, anglers, you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April 25th, right down in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night on the 24th. Join them at the Captain's Meeting and Calcutta Dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch, along with Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks, and a chance to get in on action before the lines even hit the water. Then it's game on. Safe light launch Friday morning. Weigh-ins from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor, so bring your A-game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry fee is just $400 per team. Here's the best part. Your entry includes an all-you-can-eat crawfish dinner on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. Proceeds benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. They're helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast. Register today, matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 537 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go check in with James Plogg this morning. Captain, good morning. What's
up? Good morning, Mickey. This is Cam. How you doing?
Hey, Cameron, what's up, buddy?
Man, I'm just riding shotgun with my partner here. trying to get on this big full moon bite here before she puffs up too bad. Got to get on that window.
Right. Where are you headed to this morning, to the airport?
No, I'm going wherever James takes me, man.
Going
to the big bite.
You're gonna catch some little bitty fish today, some speckled trout instead of big tuna and wahoo and marlin and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we're going for specs today, man. We're going for the bay run.
We're shooting some stuff for Angler U this morning, just for a little bit. We're gonna stay till about 9 o'clock.
Angler U, it's a game changer, baby.
It is, bud.
Yeah, it is, man. Got some good stuff on there. Rocking my Angler U hat this morning, so hopefully that's good luck.
Hey,
we'll find out.
How big was that tuna that y'all caught, you know, that's the state record at this time, and when did y'all catch that? Wasn't it in April also?
Well, Mick, that was, it was 2000, and it was, I want to say it was 2021 or 22, but it was right here in April, man. It was in the full moon, right before the full moon in the beginning of April.
Right.
And I think it was 2021 or 22.
Yeah.
And, we just had a little bit of weather window. And same deal, you know, in front of the full moon, seems like those big fish are, you know, moved through. And there was some reports of big tunas coming through, like South Florida during a sailfish tournament. These guys were catching, hooking these big tunas out there fishing for little sailfish and breaking them off and stuff. So that just kind of was an indicator, like, all right, man, well, it's going to be time and, you know. And in the back of my mind, I figured that there would be some bluefin caught just because of the weather, the good weather,
right.
and those guys put it together. You know, they left out of Freeport, and they had a stud crew. You know, it was when the stars aligned, you know, things like that happen. And you know, they had, I think it was a 6-man team with a bunch of experienced anglers and crew, and. Man, they geared up with the right stuff. You know, they brought the right tackle. They were fishing with 130s and live bait, you know. And
right.
Man, if you bring an 80 or a 50 to a deep water rig in early April and May, you got a good chance of getting spooled by one of those things.
That's what Jeff was saying. They hooked one time on a 50, and there was no slowing it down. It was gone.
No, you can't stop it. You can't stop it.
No, can't.
It'll take you all the way down to the gold on the spool, man, and bust your knot. There's not enough drag, and there ain't enough line on a 50 on a 50 Tiagra to catch that thing. But
no,
they
sir.
Were set up. You know, they had the right crew, the right tackle. You know, I saw in some photos that they were fishing with the 130. So, I mean. That's the, you know, they were set up for that, and you know, they put it together. It was a, you know, what I read was it was a big fight, you know, 5-hour fight, and those fish they fight so hard, and they're so nasty, and a lot of times, I mean, they give it all they got, just like the crew on the boat, and a lot of times they die in the fight. That's what happened to the fish. The 876 that we caught, it, you know, we fought it for 5 hours and it was alive, and then you could just tell it expired. You know, that's like a nice way of putting that it died. It expired in the fight, and it was the same deal. It's, you know, now you're inch by inch trying to winch this thing up, and the reality is it's a lot easier to catch a fish that's alive than a fish
that's inside
of a truck and dead. It's just, you know, you're max drag, you're palming the spool, you're giving it everything you got just to put 2 or 3 inches back on the reel every time. And then if you take your hand off the spool, it'll fall out, you know, just because of the weight of the massive weight of fish. And I think from what I read was that their fish also expired in the fight, but they were able to, you know, battle it. I mean, winch it back up with some good driving. And another incredible thing about that deal that these guys just did is that they caught it in a big and invincible catamaran boat. You know, they weren't in a sport fishing boat. You know, they were in a big outboard boat, and it's a Freeman, yeah. And it luckily it had a tuna door, and you know, that's a feat in itself, putting something that big in an outboard boat. But those guys showed that anything's possible with the right attitude and the right crew and right tackle, man.
Man,
pretty cool.
What a deal.
Pretty cool. But there's fish out there like that, you know. There's, and especially this time of year, we had a cool, the fish that the 876 that we caught, we had a biologist down in Port Aransas. She worked for A&M. And like Greg, she worked for Greg, what's his name, Dad? Stunts, the guy,
Stunts.
Greg Stunts. He's the head biologist down there in the, at A&M Corpus. And they took the head of the fish that we caught, and they dissected it, and they got its ear bones.
Yeah,
and,
Odalis.
Odalis. And that lady came back with some really cool information about that fish. She said that, because the bluefins, they come into the Gulf to lay their eggs, you know.
Right.
And so she had said that this fish, it had just spawned. Its roe sacks were empty, you know. So it came in and boom, it did its deal. And she also said that on the after looking at the otolith, that the fish was 19 years old. That's how old they determined that bluefin to be. And and she said that, you know, it was probably on one of its last journeys, you know, one of its final migrations, you know, from the northeast, you know, into the Gulf Stream and into the Gulf to lay its eggs. Mickey, its teeth were like, you know how when a deer gets old and its teeth get all worn down.
Yeah, get worn down.
This big tuna, its old teeth were, none of his teeth were sharp. They were all, none of her teeth were sharp. They were all worn down and kind of loose and just real, like, filed down. They weren't like sharp little tuna teeth. Things were just like little nubs almost. And it's just cool to think about, you know. You'll never catch, and I tell Dad this all the time, we'll never catch the biggest fish in the Gulf or in the ocean, because they die of natural causes before we can get to them.
Yeah.
And they just expire. Their heart, they have heart attacks. They choke on a big bait, or they get tangled up in gear. And, you know, I heard that there was some reports from, like, Japan that these commercial longliners have witnessed, like, a tunner, a marlin, a 2,000-pound fish. You know, it ate their longline gear. But you never hear about it, or you never see about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll never know how big they really get, because I think the biggest ones, they evade us for their whole life and get down there and they just die, you know, over time. So pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But 19 years old, and they don't live to be like a big marlin. They have like a life expectancy. They're not 100 years old like a sea turtle, you know. A 1,000-pound marlin is anywhere from, what is it, 20 to 25 years old. Like, they very rarely make it to 30 years old. And their hearts, they just quit pumping, man, and they go away.
Hey, tell him about Cor marking them fish.
But yeah, there was a few boats made it out this window, you know, a couple boats out of Galveston, Johnny McCray on the Thunder, and a couple guys at Port Aransas, but it sounded like you know, they marked a few of those big tunas out there. Not a lot. It wasn't like there was hundreds of them out there, but
right.
There was a little pod of them, and another buddy hooked one, and they fought it for 3 hours, and then they pulled the hook, and a few marlins, and some good yellowfin action, too. Sounded like a lot of guys that were able to get on, catch some yellowfins at the drill ship out of Port Aransas, and Hoover Diana seems to be a hot spot. no matter what, you know, you spend some time there out there with that rig, and I mean, you're going to find some tunas. And but it's just this time of year, you know, you can expect to, you can almost expect to, if the weather's good, you can almost expect to go out there and possibly encounter a big bluefin like that this time of year.
Right.
Come June and July, I think it seems like that they're less and less encounters. It seems like maybe they move out and start their journey back with the Gulf Stream up towards the north, because the fishery in Canada gets really good in late September, early October. That's when people fly up to Nova Scotia and do battle with these giant tunas. You can do a charter up there, and it's really, really pretty. I was lucky enough to go up there one time, and we battled big bluefin for 4 days straight. It was crazy.
They catch them up there, what, like 1,500 pounds or whatever?
It's crazy, Mickey. They get up there, and these, what is it? It's it's not sardines, and it's not menhaden either. There's these like mackerel kind of bait fish, and they're by the bajillions up there, and the tunas, they're all skinny once they leave the Gulf. Their fat content is low, and then they get up there and they eat all these real oily bait fish, and they plump back up so they can make that extended migration back to the Gulf. You know,
yeah, they lose several hundred pounds on that journey, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think probably that fish that the Cadillac caught when it left the Northeast, I guarantee it was over 1,000 pounds. And then they lose weight and they lean out, and so like the fish that we catch, they're not as desirable as for like the sushi market. Cause this is all stuff that people have told me. You know, they're not real oily, and just, you know, when those fish expire on the line, you know, they produce a lot of, what is it, that lactic acid,
right?
I mean, it kind of cooks the meat, honestly. I mean, they're good, but they're not that like sushi grade style that they
catch. The grade A stuff like you'd get from up in the Northeast. Yeah.
Hey, and when you go there, and if you have a permit to get to take a tuna there, hey, the rule is you can't fight it for more than an hour if you're going to sell it in the market. They want you to catch it very fast. It needs to be alive when you catch it, and then they bleed it out and they drag it back to the dock. And they have a coffin box ready to go. I mean, they ship the fish out within 45. There's already a buyer for the fish when you take it. That's how
when you hit the dock. Yeah.
When you hit the dock, there's a man that's already, you know, basically paid to have that fish shipped over to Japan or wherever it is for that super high grade.
You remember in my Troutmaster tournament, I used to use a Torrey meter on fish. We'd gauge those fish with them, hit them with it, just check the freshness and, you know, the density of the meat. That was invented.
No, that's cool.
It's made in Ireland. That little thing is like $3,000. But that was made and invented for the tuna market itself to gauge the density and the freshness of the fish for buyers.
What was that Torrey meter on that 26-inch 9-pound trout? It had to have been high.
I think that fish went a 12 or a 13. 13, I think, is your best number you can hit on it. And I think that fish was high up.
And, that's off the Richter scale.
Yeah, we had we pretty much had a basic rule. If, you know, we started torrying fish that were hitting 10 or less, we would gut them, open them up, and then Gordy and them could pull the heart out of that fish and put it under a microscope and tell you how long it'd been dead.
Dang, that's some sophisticated
pretty
stuff
technical
right there
for tournament. But it kept everybody honest, brother.
Man, I was talking to my friend who runs those fishing trips up there in Canada. His name is Andrew Moyes, and he makes big marlin lures. And I asked him, I said, so Andy, because he's caught personally been a part of over 1,500 big bluefin captures. And I asked him, I said, so Andy, how long is a 1,000-pound bluefin? And he said it's going to be anywhere from 118 to 120 inches, all dependent on the girth. So maybe one day somebody will catch one or hook one that'll be a four-digit fish. You know, maybe it'd be a marlin or tuna, but you know, if you want a 1,000-pound tuna, it's 118 to 120 inches is what you're looking for. So
right. Awesome.
If the next one we bring in, it's gonna be 120, baby. It's gonna be a four digit.
Man, what a missile! Guided missile. Man, them things are just incredible fish. Really,
hey, we're
going
to take McGinley. We're going to take Paul McGinley fishing with us.
Hey, man, might as well throw a Brandel in there too, man, on a shark trip.
Can you believe he said on TV? He's an analysis. If you like golf and watch golf, you need to be rooting for Rory. You can't be in analysis and say that. You can't do that.
No, it's...
I like Rory. I hope he wins, but you can't say that as an analysis.
You know, I kind of got sideways with Rory, and I've always liked him. Sean thought the world of him. You know, my nephew said him and his dad are as good a people as you'll ever meet. But, you know, when he was going all ballistic on these LIV players, you know, jumping ship from the PGA and going to LIV, that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. Hey, somebody offered me $100 million to switch leagues. I'm gone. I'm packing my bags. I'm out the door, brother.
Well, that's what you and I talked about. Hey, and Rory can say that. He makes $60 million a year.
Yeah.
The journeyman guys ain't making very much, and they offer him something, you got to go. I mean,
well, sure they do. But, I mean, look at the – if you're a LIV player and you're not in the top five on the leaderboard, you're not going to get any press or any TV time. Look at Patrick Reed. He's up there in the running. I mean, he sits under –
Hey, I'm sorry, one time.
Yeah.
My old boat done come loose.
Uh-oh. Sound like you got a little wind down there, bro.
Yeah, here, Jody, hand me that line.
Well, hey, I'll let y'all get to it. Cameron, I really appreciate all the good info, man. You're the man. Well, bye. They just cut off. I think his phone, that sounded like one of those cell loss signals things, but it doesn't matter. It's top of the hour coming up. You're listening to The Outdoor Show and, hey, National Anthem and all that good stuff. We'll be right back.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.